Okay, so we turn to our catechism question, which is the third last of our catechism questions. Question 80, what is the Lord's Supper? And it's quite a lengthy answer in comparison to most of the other questions. The Lord's Supper is an ordinance of the New Testament instituted by Jesus Christ, wherein by giving and receiving bread and wine, according to his appointment, his death is shown forth. And the worthy receivers are not after a corporeal and carnal manner, but by faith made partakers of his body and blood with all his benefits to their spiritual nourishment and growth in grace. And I want to briefly with you this morning look at this question and answer under the headings: the Lord's Supper, what it is, its origin, its contents, its importance, its purpose, its requirement, its nature, and its benefits. So first of all, what the Lord's Supper is. The Lord's Supper is an ordinance of the New Testament. It is a command of the New Testament. It is a command for God's people in the New Testament. So when we think of the Lord's Supper, we don't think of it so much as a type of thing that we do out of our own minds, but we think of it primarily as something that we do in response to the decree or the command or the instruction of the New Testament. That's what it is. It's an ordinance. And that's why we reject the idea of one certain church who tells us that there are seven sacraments. There's not seven sacraments. There's only two. Because there's only two sacraments given to us in the New Testament: baptism and the Lord's Supper, to be observed. Secondly, its origin. Its origin is in the institution of Jesus Christ, that Christ himself instituted this ordinance. So the reason it's in the New Testament is because Christ, during his life on earth, instituted this ordinance of the Lord's Supper. On the night he was betrayed, he gave this ordinance to his disciples. Then thirdly, its contents. Its contents, it says, wherein by giving and receiving bread and wine. Now there's one particular cult by the name of Mormonism who don't use wine. They use bread and water in their false observance of the Lord's Supper. But the contents of the Lord's Supper cannot be changed. They are bread and they are wine. Yeah, and again, it should be wine. Yeah, it should be wine. Because there is no doubt that what the Lord used was real wine. So therefore, we should use what he used, bread and wine. But then fourthly, its importance, and we have the words, according to his appointment. Again, this brings us back to an earlier point. It's important because Christ has appointed it. It's important because Christ has instituted it. It's important because it's an ordinance of the New Testament. And because Christ said, do this in remembrance of me. And by his appointment, that is why it's important. Again, the Lord's Supper, if somebody is to look at it in its simplicity, it doesn't look very important. But what gives it its importance is the appointment of Christ. Then fifthly, its purpose. The purpose of the Lord's Supper is to show forth the death of Christ. His death, as we have in our answer, is shown forth. It's a declaration of the death of Christ. And as we have bread on the table, and as we have wine on the table, and you'll notice that the separation of the two. And in the very picture of separation, the fact that the bread is on its own and the wine is on its own, the very fact that they're separate speaks of death. Because the bread speaks of his body and the wine speaks of his blood. And when you separate the blood from the body, what does that speak of? It speaks of death. Now this is one way in which the Roman Catholic Church, one of the many ways, have it wrong. Because they don't give the wine to the people. And what they say is, in a sort of a justification for that, is that the wine is included in the bread. That in the bread is included both. But that destroys the whole picture of the separation of the bread and the wine. Because if they say that the wine is still in the bread, or figuratively is still in the bread, or are really still in the bread, that denies the very symbol or the picture of the death of Christ. That the bread and the wine are separate on the table, speaking of the separation of the body from his blood. Then sixthly, its requirement. Oh, sorry, we'll read the scriptures, 1 Corinthians. We're well familiar with these scriptures. But just for the purpose of reminding ourselves, 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And we'll read together from verse 23. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you, this do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup, and when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood, this do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. And then, moving on, sixthly, we have its requirement. And the worthy receivers, this is the idea here, the requirement is that those who receive the Lord's table, as we have in the passage just read, receive it worthily. And the way to worthily receive the table is not by becoming perfect, for none of us can, or not by becoming so obedient in our Christian life that we've almost no sins to confess. That's not what it means. To worthily receive the bread and the wine is to recognize who it speaks of and the relevance of this bread and this wine to my salvation. Speaking of the death of Christ, declaring the death of Christ, that I'm not taking this bread and taking this wine for physical nourishment, but taking this bread and taking this wine, showing my need for Jesus Christ, showing my need of salvation, showing my need of forgiveness of sins, showing that I have offended God, I have broken his law, and I need Christ to forgive me. That's the way we worthily receive. Not by becoming good in ourselves, but by recognizing I'm not good. But by recognizing that I am not worthy. In fact, I would say that those who come to the Lord's table thinking that they are worthy are not. And those who come to the Lord's table thinking that they are not worthy are. If that makes sense. So we need to be careful that we don't exchange the word worthy with sinless. Seventhly, its nature. Not after, it's a very hard word to say this, I'd say it slowly, corporeal, and carnal. In other words, it's not physical. In other words, receiving the Lord's Supper is not about taking the bread and wine for their own sake. It's not a physical thing, or not a carnal thing. It's a spiritual thing, absolutely. The bread and the wine reminds us that we need to feed on Christ. That we need to feed on who He is and what He is. That's why in John chapter 6, the Lord Jesus said, "My flesh is real meat, and my blood is real drink." He wasn't talking that literally they should kill Him and eat Him there. No, He's saying they need to receive Him into their very soul. And as we take the bread and as we take the wine, we are reminded that unless Christ comes into me, unless the merits of His righteousness is added to my account, I am without hope. And finally, its benefits. Made partakers of His body and blood, with all His benefits to their spiritual nourishment and growth in grace. And the Word of God does promise that there is a blessing in the receiving of the Lord's Supper. Because in doing so, if we do it by faith, we receive the benefits of Christ and all that He has done for us, especially on the cross. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 16 says, "The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ?" And the word there, communion, literally means fellowship. When we partake of the bread and the wine, we're having fellowship with the Lord Jesus. We are communing with Him. We are fellowshipping with Him. And in that act of fellowship, just like if we have a meal, some of us went to a place last night where we had a very nice bit of food together and just spent time. And just spent time together, just over a burger and a cup of tea or a cup of coffee. And we didn't have much to eat, but it was the fact that we were spending time together. And as we partake of the Lord's table, we are spending time with Jesus Christ, in fellowship with Him, in communion with Him. And in doing so, we receive the benefits of who He is and what He has done for us, especially on the cross, in His death and burial. Well, that's why we believe that it should be done every week. Because we need. Absolutely. We need Him. We need continual fellowship and communion with the Lord Jesus. Therefore, to say that once a month or, you know, once every 6 months or whatever it is, to say that is wrong, because we need Christ. Not only weekly, we need Him daily, but because this is the first day of the week, this is how we begin the week, so that's a good question. So what is the Lord's Supper? The Lord's Supper is an ordinance of the New Testament instituted by Jesus Christ, wherein, by giving and receiving bread and wine according to His appointment, His death is shown forth, and the worthy receivers are not after a corporeal and carnal manner, but by faith made partakers of His body and blood with all His benefits to their spiritual nourishment and growth in grace.